I feel like telling Bert to come back up here and talk some more. I really enjoyed that, thinking about that, and just contemplating just how true that is. It is astounding to me all the time. You know, throughout my days, I'm pondering God's incredible plan and how He's tied it all together so perfectly in the Bible. And we just explore that. I have such a blessing, such a privilege to be able to do that on a full-time basis. And down at Lottie this week, we talked a lot about the subject of trust, trusting God. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I told some people yesterday at Culver's that that's usually where I get my sermons from, is from going down to Lottie and talking with guys and finding out what is going on in their lives and in their minds and what they need and what will help them. And so if it helps them, it should help all of us. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about trusting God this morning. I pondered how to do this. I'll just go ahead and do it this way. Now, you youngsters don't know who that is, do you? Anybody under the age of 21 know who that is? Harrison knows. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Lauren knows. That's Old Blue Eyes. Right? Beloved Frank Sinatra. One of the great swing artists of the 1940s, 50s, 60s. And this is probably, I would say, this is his most famous song. So I'm going to quote it. Just parts of it. Kind of right in the middle of the song. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and I did it my way. That's a very powerful song. When he sings that song, I watched it on YouTube yesterday. People just, they're just in awe of the song and how he sings it and how powerful it is. I got to tell you, the people that I know that did it their way, it didn't work out so well for them. It didn't work out so well. There's one person in particular I'm thinking of that's what she's done all of her life. And it hadn't worked out so well for her. And I'm hoping she gets that. I'm hoping she's finally seeing that in her life. It hadn't worked out so well doing it her way. I think a lot of people have trust issues. They don't trust people, and I understand that to some degree, don't you? People oftentimes are not very trustworthy. I've been burned a lot down through the years. I've been burned by brethren down through the years. Maybe you have too. People are not trustworthy all the time. But God is. He is faithful. Great is His faithfulness. Every day, His mercies are new every morning. He is 100% completely trustworthy, and He's the only being that is. And He's infinitely trustworthy. I think of David when he was on the run from Saul. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 26, he's on the run from Saul. King Saul is after him. He's trying to kill him. And he's chasing him through the wilderness for years and years. David's going through the wilderness, hiding from Saul, and Saul's after him. So one time, in 1 Samuel 26, verse 7, David and Abishai went to the army by night. They found the army of Saul camped out and sleeping. And there lay Saul, sleeping within the encampment with his spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner and the army lay around him. And Abishai said to David, God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Now, please, let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear, and I will not strike him twice. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said, as the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should put out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but take now the spear that is at his head and the jar of water and let us go. So Saul will know I was there. I took his spear, I took the jar of water, but I didn't kill him. So did David do it his way? Well, you might say, well, yeah, that was David's way. No, David's way, if he wanted to do it his way, he would have killed him right then and there and be freed from him. So David submitted himself to what he knew was the Lord's way. And in his explanation of that, you see his trust of God. The Lord will take care of this. Saul will die in battle. The day will come. He will perish. God's going to handle this. I'm going to let him do that. And so David went on his way and continued to get chased by Saul and continued to be in fear of his life. But he submitted to God's way because he trusted him. That's a lesson you got to learn. And sometimes you have to learn it the hard way. Sometimes you suffer through life or you suffer through a particular circumstance and situation and you do it your way, you handle it your way and it gets worse, it doesn't work out. And maybe the light bulb goes off eventually and you get it. Finally, I got to do it God's way. Because God's way is always best. So if you learn to trust God with all your heart, then your life will be filled with blessings because that's what God promises and He is faithful to keep His promises. He'll get you through the difficult times. I can look back at my life now and point to a few times when it was only by my trust in God that things worked out so well. And at the time, there was no telling how they were going to work out. Total uncertainty. Could have worried and been fearful, could have been anxious, could have made snap choices, could have been impulsive, could have done what I thought was best. But instead, there were times when I had learned and I trusted and God worked it out. And it was incredible. So I've had the blessing of learning that by experience. Maybe you have too. I hope you have. But if you haven't yet, you need to learn it. You need to learn it for the rest of your life and practice it for the rest of your life. I was out looking at some websites on trusting in your way, trusting yourself. I'm going to read you a couple of things. This is what the world is saying. This is what you've been hearing. This is what you've been exposed to. This may be what your parents told you. This may be what your educators told you. This may better be what your therapist told you. Trust yourself to achieve success in life. There are two major things that stop us from living the life we want. Let's face them together. Lack of trust in yourself and lack of your ability to manage your emotions. Until you decide to trust yourself, you will never be what you truly want to be. Whenever you are going through something hard in life, never lose the power of self-trust. You end up creating a beautiful time of your life when you master the power of self-trust. How do you trust yourself? Number one, accept yourself. Know who you are and accept the way you are. Take your own decisions. You are your own master. Start realizing your power and potential. Trust your choices. Think about them deeply, and after that, never regret them. Oh, it sounds good. Sounds good, yeah. I can do that. I got power. I got potential. I can accept who I am. I'm going to master my destiny. Boy, that's pleasing to the prideful ear, isn't it? It's what we want to believe. It's what we want to be. We want to be in control. But every time we are, the truth is, it hardly ever works out well. Stop pleasing others. When you really trust yourself, you stop worrying about what everyone else feels about you. Go your own way. Do it yourself. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Don't seek counsel. Just do it. Your way is best. What happens when you trust yourself? You get through anything in life, it says. When you trust yourself, you can handle anything in life, no matter how hard it is. You figure it out, you get through it, and you become stronger than ever. You become independent. When you start trusting yourself, you realize that your life is your own, and you have to work on it yourself to make it better. You become phenomenal in life. Once you trust self-power, you develop a phenomenal attitude towards every aspect of your life. Relationships, connections, freedom no longer scares you. You are in power. You are in control. Trust yourself. Here's another article, just a real brief paragraph. It's entitled, Trust Yourself. Trust yourself and you'll be able to realize that you are capable of withstanding any sort of difficulties that come along your way. We often fear the hurdles, and we do so only because we're unaware of our own potential. Know that you are stronger than you actually think yourself to be. All you need is to trust yourself and have faith in your abilities. You must understand that you are capable of dealing with all sorts of hardships, and nothing in this world can stop you from achieving all that you want to fetch. Too often we underestimate our own abilities, and that's the biggest mistake that we can ever do. Certainly, all we need is to trust ourselves. All you need is to have faith in yourself, and you'll be able to overcome each and every hurdle that comes along your way. Boy, if I were in the world and I were hearing this as a young person with all my insecurities and all of my wonderings and fears and worries and so forth, I would probably want to hear this. I would probably want to believe this, and I would want it to empower me, and I would get up with a new resolve. I'm going to trust myself. I'm going to move forward. I'm in control. I'm going to master things. So, trust yourself. Then you will know how to live. That was the image that was at one of these articles. Trust yourself, and then you will know how to live. Well, I guess the devil is a-working, isn't he? With his lies. What does God say? What does God say? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. You know this passage, right? You've memorized this passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. That's pretty straightforward. Don't lean on your own understanding. Well, wait a minute. I know who I am. I have power. I have strength. I should just trust myself. How's that working for you? God says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Whoever trusts in his own mind, reasoning, thinking, whoever trusts in his own reasoning, his own thinking, is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Will be delivered. Will avoid the problem. Will escape the problem. Will not enter into the problem. Will do better with the situation. Will be delivered. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Again, one you've probably memorized. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Go ahead, trust yourself. See how that works out for you. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit your work to the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. That's interesting, because that tells me it's okay for me to make plans. I need to make plans. There's a sense of responsibility that I have in my life to evaluate my circumstances and situation and make plans to do well. But what does it say? Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. It reminds me of James chapter 4. When James is talking about the man who decides he's going to go down to such and such a city and he's going to do business and he's going to make a profit. And what should he have done? He should have said, if the Lord wills, then I will do this or that. That's what he should have said, but he left the Lord out of the picture entirely and he went down and thought he had a great plan. And so he was trusting in his own mind, in his own thinking, in his own reasoning. He didn't allow the Lord to establish his plans, maybe even to redirect him a little bit or to counteract something that he was making a mistake in. He didn't allow any of that. He didn't give any thought to that. He didn't do it the Lord's way. He did it his way. He did it his way. And not the Lord's way. Psalms 32. This is an interesting passage. Psalms 32, interesting because of the metaphor that's used here of the horse and the mule. We had that up on the board before the announcements, or after the announcements. Psalm 32, 8 through 11. I will instruct you, God says, and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I'll instruct you in the way you should go. I'll counsel you with my eye on you. I'm going to take care of you. I got my eye on you. I know what you need. I'm going to counsel you and direct you and help you. Don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Don't be like that. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be without understanding. Don't make me have to put a bit in your mouth and bridle you and get you to do, because I'm not going to do that. I don't violate your free will. So don't be like that stubborn horse or mule, because you're going to go your way and it's not going to go well. Notice in verse 10, he says, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. All of God's love surrounds you when you trust in Him. I think that's got to be the single most important foundation of our lives. To trust God. That's like almost always the answer. Or maybe always. Always the answer. And always the problem. Not trusting God. Do you know how to trust God? That might be the problem. You need to learn how to trust God. Really trust Him. Really, Let him guide you. Let him counsel you. Let him steer you. Trust him. I don't know how it's going to go. Trust him. Commit your way to the Lord, and he will establish your plans. Do things his way, not your way. Well, I don't know what his way is. Trust him. He'll show you. He'll give you wise counsel. He'll teach you through his word. Trust him. He will take care of you. I think that's got to be the most foundation. Because I say that because I'm thinking about how we're saved. Because ultimately that's all that matters, is that we get to heaven. Amen? We're going to struggle through this life in ways. We're going to make mistakes in this life in ways, many ways. But what matters is that we get to heaven. Young people, you got to see that. You got to know that, because you're young and you don't think that way yet. But that's all that matters. That's all that matters. So everything you do in your life needs to be focused on that. I'm going to do things God's way. I'm going to trust him, because that's what gets me to heaven. Faith. That's what faith is. Every time I see the word believe, when coming out of Jesus' mouth or out of Paul's mouth and in his words, I always in my mind translate it trust, or trust and obey. But trust is definitely in there. That's the idea of biblical belief. How am I saved? By trusting God. Because I'm not going to get to heaven without that. I'm not good. I'm certainly not perfect. And the only way I'm going to get to heaven is to trust God. That's faith. I'm saved by his grace through my trust in him. It's not because I work perfectly, but because I trust in him. So trust in God has got to be the foundation. Think about what happened in the Garden of Eden. It's sometimes very helpful and instructive. Go back to the beginning. So God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of one tree in the garden. He let them eat from the tree of life. He gave them life. You can eat from this tree, the tree of life. Eat from it. But don't eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's interesting. I wonder. Why were they forbidden to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Why that tree? What did God know? What does it take, you think, to handle well the knowledge of good and evil? What do you think it takes to handle well the knowledge of good and evil? Let me suggest that it would take the ability to completely comprehend all of the possible options and contingencies. Oh, it would take omniscience. You'd have to be all-knowing to handle well the knowledge of good and evil. It would take the righteousness and wisdom to choose the right course. That's what it would take to handle well the knowledge of good and evil. And it would take the power to control reality so that it follows the right course. To engineer and control things so that reality followed the right course. It would take omnipotence. Who has the ability to handle well the knowledge of good and evil? God does. You don't. You don't. So you need God to instruct you, counsel you, lead you, guide you, and you need to trust him that he understands how to handle it and how things will work out for the good. Because God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. And ultimately that good results in eternal life in heaven. So we trust God. Because he's the one who has the ability to handle life. to understand life and to control life and to manage life and to give the wisdom that we need in order to not make those mistakes that cost us so dearly and might cost us eternal life. So I just want to close with some practical applications. Are your ways better than God's? In your major life decisions, do you trust God and seek His counsel from the Word and from His people? That's what He says to do. In the presence of many counselors, there is wisdom. Seek wise counsel. No, I'm going to do it my way. I trust my thinking. You don't understand my circumstances. I don't need to talk to you. Well, God says that you need to seek wise counsel. So are you going to trust Him? Or are you going to trust yourself? See how that works for you in the important decisions of life. I can look back at one particular time in my life where I did not seek wise counsel. I did not seek God's blessing. I really just trusted myself and did it because I wanted to. I did it my way. And boy, did it cost me. And my family. It cost us. For many years. And that's the way I see it. That's the way I look at it. I look back and I see it very plainly now. That's what happened. That's what I did. And so this teaching of God is to get us. He loves us. He wants to help us. He doesn't want us to go through those difficulties. He wants us to learn to trust Him. In your career choices, do you trust God and seek the kingdom first? I got to ask that question a lot because people come to me sometimes and say, I want to do this. I want to take this job or do this thing or whatever. What do you think? And you know what I always say is, how is that going to affect your spiritual life? What do you're going to have to think about this. What is it going to cost you? What's it going to cost your family? What's it going to cost you spiritually? What are you going to be taken away from? The church? The church? Your support system? The people that you need to be serving? You're not going to be able to serve them? And they're not going to be able to edify and encourage you? You're going to give that up? And so on. But not seeking the kingdom first is a serious problem of trusting yourself instead of trusting God. You seek the kingdom first, and what did Jesus say? All these things. All these things that you are yearning for, all these things that you think you need, all these things will be provided to you in God's way, in His time, under His wisdom. It may not look exactly like you think it would or want it to, but it'll be God's way. And it will be a greater blessing than your way. Here's one. I think we need to be thinking about this. In your health, exercise, and eating choices. Oh, now the preacher's meddling. Really? You're going to talk about my eating choices? You're going to talk about my health, my exercise choices? Well, does God care? Does God care about your temple? Does He want you to take care of your temple? Does He say that He dwells in your temple and that you are to keep it and be a good steward of it and use it for His service? Does He care about this? Does He have some wisdom to share with you? Does He have some counsel to give you? Are you going to do it your way? Whew. Again, I know I'm messing. But I think that's right. I don't think I'd be doing the right job if I didn't bring that up. Because God speaks to it. So think about that. Am I indulging my pleasures and hurting my health? Am I unwilling to be diligent in caring for myself? Because I'm lazy? Because I just don't want to? Because I've developed all these bad habits and I don't know how to fix them? I get it. It's tough. But does God want you to think about it and trust Him? Trust in His ways. And will He make your life better if you do that? That's His promise. In your friendships and dating relationships, do you trust God and talk about your relationship with Him and emphasize how important He is to you? That's something. Because dating is for the purpose of marriage. And if you're not talking about God and emphasizing your relationship with God with the person that you're dating, then what's your marriage going to look like if you end up marrying him? These are things to think about. Are you going to try? Oh, but I don't want to lose this young man. I don't want to lose this young girl. And if I talk too much about God or emphasize God in my life or really try to teach and instruct about God, I think I'd probably lose him or her. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that you're going to have to trust God. You see? And then things will work out better for you. Because if you do lose him, God will provide. He will provide. And if you don't lose him, it will be for the right reasons. And he'll help you get to heaven. In your financial choices, do you trust God and refuse to spend money you don't have on things you don't need? So that you can have something to share and serve with, because that's what God wants. That's His way, to have something to share and to serve with. But in our materialistic age, it's so common for people to be spending money they don't have on things they don't need. And I'm not going to stand in judgment of you. God is going to stand in judgment of you. I'm not looking at you. I don't have the ability to know and understand anything about that with you. You've got to seek wise counsel. You've got to look at God's Word. You've got to make your choices by trusting Him. Trust Him. Because if you stop indulging yourself in that manner, He will bless you. He'll give you the ability to serve, which will be a blessing. He'll give you the ability to share with others, which will be a blessing. He'll give you a feeling, too, of responsibility and stewardship that will comfort you, because you know that you're doing things His way. These are our areas that we need to be given thought to in terms of doing things our way or doing things God's way. In your recreation choices, do you trust God and do you reject, as LJ talked about on Wednesday night, reject ungodliness? Reject it, deny it, and worldly desires. Do you make those kinds of choices in your recreation? Do you trust God that if you'll do that, your life will be blessed? That He will establish your ways, that He will make you holy, that He will give you strength to overcome, that He will give you the ability to live the righteous life that you want to live? Do you trust Him enough to deny yourself? Because that's usually what it takes to deny yourself, is you need to trust God. So these are all the kinds of choices. Finally, in your daily habits, do you trust God and make prayer and Bible reading a high priority? Because that takes discipline. And God says, if you'll do that, then I will bless you with a closer relationship, with peace and joy and happiness, with direction, with counsel, with wisdom. If you'll do that, you know, if you'll discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Godliness is a Godwardness. It's a devotion to God. It's prayer. It's Bible study. It's meditation on God. If you'll discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, then it's a blessing in this life and in the age to come, eternal life. Do you trust Him? So I think a lot of these things all come down to that. It's like you hear Him, you hear the Word, and then you got to trust God. He will take care of things if you'll trust Him and obey Him and submit to Him. So I thank you for your good attention this morning. I'm going to close with that. And you can just ponder this while we offer the Lord's invitation. So many reasons to trust God. That's a few of them. And some of them are somewhat redundant, but nevertheless, emphasis is a good thing. So if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, then you know what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to trust God. Because you don't know what's coming. You don't know what your life will look like yet. You know, I don't know what my life's going to look like over the next 20 years. But I trust God, so it'll be all right. So you've got to have that kind of a mindset. So if you know what to do, what God commands you to do to be saved from your sins, you should do that. You should trust Him. If you want to study that and make sure that you understand what God wants you to do to be saved, then we'd be very happy to do that with you even today. Or if you just like the prayers of the congregation, whatever you need, please come forward.